from need to equality. A new ethical standard was therefore necessary. With great fanfare, then, much of the left changed its official ethical standard from need to equality. No longer was the primary criticism of capitalism to be that it failed to satisfy people's needs. The primary criticism was to be that its people did not get an equal share. The German Social Democrats took the lead in developing the new strategy. As the party most directly descended from Marx himself, and still the leading socialist party in the Western world, the Social Democrats made major changes to their basic program at a special party congress at Bad Godesberg in November of 1959. The most significant of the changes emphasized equality. The Godesberg program recast the party from being a party of the defenseless and impoverished worker to being a party of the people at large. Since the worker seemed to be doing well enough under capitalism, the focus had to shift to different capitalist pathologies, the many inequalities across various social dimensions. One dimension singled out for special attention was the unequal sizes of business enterprises. Some businesses are much bigger than others, giving them an unfair advantage over their smaller competitors. So equalizing the competitive playing field became the new goal. No longer would the Social Democrats condemn all private businesses as rapacious and call for their outright socialization. Rather, they would push for cutting bigger businesses down to size and for strengthening small and middle-sized businesses. In other words, achieving equality had supplanted satisfying basic needs as the revised standard by which to evaluate capitalism. A variation on this strategy was implicit in a new definition of poverty that the left began to offer in the early 1960s. The poverty that capitalism causes is not absolute, but relative. Popularized in the United States by Michael Harrington and others, the new argument abandoned the claim that capitalism would generate a physically malnourished and therefore revolutionary proletariat. Capitalism did not cause such absolute poverty. Rather, the proletariat would become revolutionary because while their basic physical needs were being met, they saw that some others in society had relatively much more than they did. Feeling excluded and without real opportunities to achieve the good life the rich were enjoying, the proletariat would experience psychological oppression and thus be driven to desperate measures. Another variation on this strategy emerged as the formerly monolithic Marxist-Socialist movement splintered in response to the crisis of socialism. Abandoning the traditional economic class analysis's implication that effort should be focused upon achieving a universal class consciousness, left thinkers and activists focused on narrower subdivisions of the human species, concentrating their efforts on the special issues of women and of racial and ethnic minorities. Broadly Marxist themes of conflict and oppression carried over into the new splinter groups analyses, but again the dominant theme was equality. As with the economic proletariat, it was hard to deny that women and racial and ethnic minority groups had made significant gains in the liberal capitalist nations. So again, the criticism of capitalism could not be that it drove those groups to outright poverty or slavery or some other form of oppression. Instead, the criticism focused on the lack of equality between the groups. Not, for example, that women were being forced into poverty, but rather that as a group, they had been held back from achieving economic equality with men. Common to all of these variations was a new emphasis on the principle of equality and a de-emphasis on the principle of need. In effect, in changing the ethical standard from need to equality, all of these new varieties of left socialism had resolved to quote Marx less and to quote Rousseau more.